Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, let's see if I can remember how to drive this thing. Well, Russell, that was my funny like intro line. And now you've just talked all over the top of it.
Do it again.
This
is
all going to be fine.
Do it again. Sorry, I won't speak. Okay.
Right, well, let's see if I can remember how to drive this thing.
Pod Save the King.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I am your host, Anne Griffer. It's been a long time since I was here. This podcast had a totally different name, but I've still got Russell Myers with me.
Unfortunately for you, I'm so sorry.
Although you've got a fancy pants new title as well. Not Prince of Wales or the King.
No.
Fancy pants new title nonetheless, and it's lovely to see you
and
again.
And you too. This is us reunited.
I know, and it's actually, it's not just that I was out on maternity leave for, you know, a year and then was... took my time retaking the reins of the podcast while I got used to my normal job again, but we had 2 years of pandemic as well. It's more than 3 years since you and I sat in not even this room but in this office.
Is it really?
In our podcast
studio.
Oh
my gosh, I mean, loads of stuff has happened. Well, global pandemic, a couple of office shifts,
some
moved
prime ministers.
House prime ministers, queens, kings, the rest of it, duchesses.
Well, as
fallout scandal.
I was going to say, Zoe and I chat, we had a little handover chat, and thank you to everybody for the kind comments on Instagram as we did our little crown handover. Thanks to Dan, lovely producer Dan Jackson, for the crown, and yeah, huge thanks to Zoe for doing such a fab job looking after Russell.
Yep.
And you, our lovely listeners,
which is a full time job in itself, but you know. I mean, fair play to Zoe because she kept the wheels on track, and I know I probably wasn't the easiest driving companion. So thank you very much, Zoe.
Well, I look forward to good behaviour this year, Russell. Otherwise, there will be trouble. But there's lots to talk about as ever.
Yes,
and we're going to get to do some of our favourite things, including play with the space-time continuum.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah, well, we kept that. We kept the bastion of the space-time continuum going while you were off, but it's still going strong.
So we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon.
Yep,
and we're able to do this because Russell is not in Paris.
Yes,
where he was meant to be.
Yes, I was going to say fortunately, but you know, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. But hopefully, all being well, he will be flying to Germany tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. So, shall we pop straight ahead in the space-time continuum and hear how you're getting on in Germany?
Hello and welcome to the Berlin edition Pod Save the King. I am Russell Myers. You can probably hear I've got a bit of a dodgy voice, so apologies for that, but I'm here with photographer extraordinaire, friend of the podcast, Ian Vogler.
Good afternoon for a rainy.
I know, we've been very fortunate because we were supposed to be at another engagement, but we've sort of left it to our colleagues to get drenched in the rain. But we've been hosted very well by the chairmen. We've been obviously here on the state visit of His Majesty the King and the Queen Consorts. We've been at the Bundestag today. Where else have you been? Were we together?
Yeah, I was at the Bellevue Palace last night, the official residence of the president. Yes. Before that, at the airport. So it's been really good. I had a long day yesterday. I won't express any sympathy. It's been really good.
Well, some glittering tiaras yesterday that were on display. What do you think about Camilla's sort of outfit? There's a lot of talk about it before we arrived. What sort of outfits will be worn? Sashes and the like. I could barely keep up, to be honest, but. I think it shows you that glamour and the essence of the occasion, I suppose.
Yeah, it certainly does. It is the King's first official state visit overseas, and it's showing you how things are going to be, I guess. It's very, very formal, lots of tiaras, glittery outfits, and lots of friendship. The President of Germany was just seemed to be so pleased that the King and the Queen consort have come to Germany as the third visit. Obviously, we should have gone to France last week, but events overtook us.
Yeah.
And so yeah. We stuck to the German leg of the trip.
Well, I think it was all fate playing its part because a lot been said this week that this was the late Queen's last state to visit, her last foreign tour in 2015. She came to Germany, and I think probably fate took a part in us being here. I don't know why we were going to Germany before France. Both France is our nearest neighbour. There's a lot to be said about the French connection, as it were. But the fact that we have come to Germany, I wouldn't say a huge welcome. It's been a bit more muted. Certainly we have the two elder members of the royal family. It's not sort of the Beatles mania that you get with the younger members of the family. But nevertheless, it has been a warm welcome. No doubt Charles exploring his German roots. There were some of his German family there at the state banquet yesterday. But as you said, Ian, there is very much about friendship and togetherness. Of course, there's been a tortured historical past of these two nations. But as Charles was saying at the Bundestag, I was there, I don't know whether you were there as well, we got split up for a bit, but talking about how much it meant to him for both Charles and Camilla to be invited to the German Parliament and speaking about the bond between the two countries. And of course, he became the first monarch to speak at the Bundestag because that honour wasn't afforded to the Queen in any of their 15 occasions, I think, that she was here. But most impressed by my thoughts, him speaking or sort of dope flicking between the two of German and English. I mean, he's German. He spoke with a man with an accent of honour, in the German importer said to me. Yeah.
I think he got the biggest laugh when he mentioned I think it was in German, wasn't it? He said, the British people have enjoyed the great hospitality here. And I think all the politicians took that to mean that we've enjoyed the liquid refreshment that's so well known in Germany and in particular.
Or certainly known for the Brits coming over to anywhere like in continental Europe to enjoy themselves, as we put it mildly. But again, he did tell a few jokes. I was quite surprised. I thought it was quite a serious occasion. Of course it was. His speech went on for about 20 minutes, but he was telling jokes, a couple of in both languages. He was talking about our football rivalry, of course, but talking about Henning Venn and Monty Python, our shared love of each other's culture and comedy, and very, very well received. But you can tell that there is an understanding of each other. And while Charles hasn't really gotten involved in the political side, you wouldn't have expected him to, but important that he is here as sort of a messenger from the government. Of course, the Foreign Office has asked him to come here. There's a matter of Brexit, which is still not over the line. There's obviously some crossing of T's and dotting of I's to do of the deal that's been put forward lately. However, it was down to the president that was talking about 6 years to the day that Germans were actively weeping that we had left the EU. But whilst that may have heralded a different divisional time, it hasn't done, and he was saying there's definitely a lot more in common that we do have apart.
Yeah, absolutely. He did mention Ukraine, of course, and how many refugees that the German people have taken in. The King's been very involved with Ukraine. He's been to loads of different Ukrainian groups in London and churches and things like that. I mean, like anybody, you know, there's a war going on not too far from us, and we're involved as part of that. And they're off to see refugees later on today, aren't they, Beijing?
Yeah, and it's obviously a big issue in Germany. They've accepted over a million Ukrainians who, you remember those images in the first few weeks or days and weeks of people streaming in their tens of thousands to the railway stations. But of course, that's a central thing. And I think it's a central thing for the monarchy as well, because you've seen William and Kate doing things like that. You've seen the Duke and Duchess of Edinburgh. Bit authentic train piece on our journey, but again, the visiting refugee centres, both him and the Queen Consort today have been doing that, visiting community hubs, very, very important in Berlin and throughout Germany as well. What else we had? We had a couple of demonstrations of amphibious vehicles. the King Crossing, a bridge that was put together by UK and German soldiers. Obviously, that's very, very important, that working through, especially in Eastern Europe. I think we saw that collaboration last week with Prince William in Poland that you were at.
Yeah, I went to Poland last week. That was quite interesting. There's British troops have been on the ground there for quite some time, manning anti-rocket defences, I believe, is the loose term, but I'm no expert, which is another vital piece of the thing. But it's interesting that because here we are, this is a state visit, and some things have been replicated from the Queen's reign, and we've noticed the state Bentley has been
over
with a Bentley.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a bit much, to be honest. I think Alice have sort of said that there is precedent to bring the state Bentley over. It was brought over by Bentley, who paid for it themselves. I don't think whether that was here or there. I think that if you're trying to do things differently, he's talked about, we know that he is a green king, eco-warrior prince and all this, but I don't think there was a need to bring the state Bentley. I mean, it looks great, doesn't it, driving 50 yards up the road, but maybe you should have used an electric Audi or something.
I'm pretty sure Audi would have stumped up some electric, because I think they have, some of the royal family have got electric Audis. They've certainly got Audis. I think perhaps that was just a throwback to state.
That didn't need to.
Here I am. That is my car.
Yeah. Well, today we are on our way to Hamburg, but tomorrow the event will kick off. And of course, Hamburg has a real tortured past, pretty much flattened during the Second World War by the Brits. There is an acknowledgement in his speech today at the Bundestag that Charles sort of recognise that there is an admission from the Brits that wrongs happened, unfortunately, war, and now we're on our way to Hamburg, and obviously the events will kick off tomorrow, but we're trying to get just ahead of ourselves, and that'll be very interesting, because Hamburg has a real tortured past, pretty much flattened by the Brits during the Second World War. And in Hamburg, the issues of the Kinder Charles War, which Charles referenced in his speech to the Bundestag today, got a big cheer and a full applause for that that campaign to bring tens of thousands of children away from the Nazis and back into Britain. So I think we'll see more sort of reconciliation. I think we've probably moved on from that, but probably more discussion about our shared history between Britain and Germany tomorrow. And I think overall, a pretty successful visit so far.
Yeah, it's been really successful so far. A short visit, very concise, packing loads of engagements here every day, meeting loads of people, and looking forward to getting to Hamburg to see, you know, what happens tomorrow. The people of Hamburg, I'm sure, will be there to greet them when they arrive by train, I think.
Yeah, well, let's catch up. Next week, I'll probably put everyone out of their misery and listen to my tortured voice. But it's been a pleasure to be here. We've been really welcomed with open arms by the Germans. And over to you, future Russell, or past Russell, that I've lost well. And back to Aaron.
So that was our update from future Russell.
And he's much better, I think.
We can only hope. We can only hope. But let's go back to France and why France didn't happen. So, I mean, I've got one up on the King and Queen. I did go to Paris in the springtime.
Yes.
We were there about 10 days ago.
Glorious.
Well, it was glorious, but there were also a lot of blue sirens, bit of light rioting going on. There was rubbish all in the streets.
But Parisians just getting on with life. I love these videos I've been seeing on social media of the Parisians just having a coffee and a Gauloise cigarette while there's rubbish burning all around them.
There was definitely, there was definitely stuff going on. So the Friday, we were there for the rugby, Six Nations finale, and we walked on the Friday afternoon, walked along the river to the Eiffel Tower, walking back again. I mean, there were already loads and loads of police vans on the square where it had all kicked off the night before, and then we're walking back, and my son's like, oh, yep, that's something on fire. That's probably a police van. If it is a police van, then the petrol tank will make a nice bang in a few minutes' time, and it did. So we're there pushing our daughter in the pushchair on the other side of the river, along the river, and then up, bump, up goes the petrol tank.
God.
So, and you know, there's people silhouetted up on the bridge, and Ben's like, that's a picture that's going to be in the paper tomorrow, isn't it? So, you know, it is all kicking off. And I mean, every time you go to France, there is always some form of strike or action or whatever. They have a good sort of social engagement.
I love it. More of it. The French, you know, they love a good riot, and they are not laying down in this instance. And I gave him for a bit of a kick in myself, because I said this was a huge blow for Charles, and people say, well, it's not a huge blow for Charles, a huge blow for Macron and France. They can't get their house in order. But I was just giving it from the point of view that it's a bit of a stuttering start, and it was unfortunate for the king. So obviously it's nowhere near his fault, and the blame lies squarely at Macron. I mean, is that fair to say the blame is all his? I mean, it's embarrassing, isn't it? They had to ring the king and say, basically, we can't have you here because the place is on fire and everyone's throwing, you know, petrol bombs at police officers.
But it's that side, but it's also the optics.
Yes, so, I mean, it was all the fact that they couldn't guarantee their safety, and the security services were saying that these flashpoints were happening all the time, and despite them trying to get on top of it, they are increasing. I think we're still seeing in the news over the last 24 hours, there are still big protests all around France, and they do show no sign of abating.
So it's, you know, a rise in the retirement age is what is the matter at issue, and I think they're looking to put it up to 64. I mean, Russell, you and I will probably still be doing this podcast when we're about 80.
And so the rest, yeah, that, I feel about that.
On that front, I'm not sure how much sympathy I have. I mean, fair play for people standing up for their rights, but I think the optics, yes, there's the bit about keeping the king and queen safe, but there's also the optics for Macron as president of a republic.
Of a republic, yes.
Having a big fancy pants dinner at the place which was the palace of the king and queen whose heads got chopped off.
That they turfed out, yeah.
And let them eat cake.
Yep.
And all of that kind of thing would have looked a bit, I don't know.
Well, I'm not too sure of the optics on it anyway, riots or no riots. I think that this has brought to a head something that the French are asking themselves, not only on the backdrop of the pension reforms, but should they be having a state visit? Is it something that they want to magnify given their republican history? I think that the general feeling in France, speaking to people who live there, is that they don't want any part of it. And whilst we may think that a state visit is all bells and whistles and, oh, don't we do it great, and look at the soldiers marching and that chap in a gold state coach, I don't think the French really appreciate it.
But you don't have to have a state visit with a king and queen. You know, if President Biden visits Macron, that's still a state
visit. Well, it's different having a king and queen. What it represents, I think, and their history as well. I'm not too sure. I think it's sort of raked over some coals that are still, you know, still conversations to be had.
And I think it's also that, you know, Any leader can always be a divisive figure. But I think Macron talked about being almost that sort of emperor, king,
yes,
president,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
having that figurehead that maybe the French were missing. And there is, you know, there is that sense of some countries, when they've got rid of their royalty, they end up actually quite enjoying other people's royalty, maybe, like America.
The Americans, Canadians,
France,
absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
well, Canadians have got rid of them, but they don't necessarily have it displayed on a daily basis, I suppose, or that you can't visit the landmarks that are so associated with the royal family.
A bit different anyway. Mm. So hopefully they will get to go another time. And there is, there is a little bit of a loss of, we're no longer the first visit of the king. That one goes to Germany.
Yes, yeah, which some people say that's probably a bit more apt, given their history and former surnames.
Off to visit the family.
Yes. So...
Well, they are both fabulous cities, and
well, I'm looking forward very much to Berlin, and I think it will be a chance. It'll be very interesting to see. Well, I suppose I'll be telling you in future, Russell, won't I? But let's just say, shall I make a prediction?
Okay, make your prediction.
I think he will mention something about Europe.
Oh, interesting.
And let's see if future Russell can give him any more info on that. Anyway.
Okay, and then You will already know whether Russell has made a fool of himself,
confusing myself, already.
or whether he has been proven quite correct. So there's some excitement for him and me to look for. So, Russell, it is nice to be back.
Yes, yeah. The ludicrous nature of dealing with me has worked
not
3 minutes.
Someone else who is back back yeah. in the UK. Prince Harry is here.
He is.
So tell us why. Tell us why. Well, what's going on?
I mean, the rumours had started circling a few days ago. Was Harry going to show up? He has a court case ongoing with Associated Newspapers, the proprietor, the sort of umbrella organisation for the Daily Mail, Mail Online and Mail on Sunday. And he is fighting a case over privacy and about hacking and investigative
practices,
I think it was best described. Now, this case is separate to other legal cases he has ongoing with the Home Office about his security. He didn't really have many qualms about his security when he rolled up in a black cab yesterday in front of the High Court. But it was interesting to see him nonetheless. And of course, Elton John was there as well. Baroness Doreen Lawrence was there. Sadie Frost, the actress, was there as well. So, yeah, I mean, interesting point. I think one of the big takeaways, though, was, aside from this court case, which is ongoing for over 4 days this week, is that he was told that King was too busy to see him. Now, the Sussex's spokespeople had made it known to some of the friendly press that he had asked whether his father was around and been promptly told that the King had a pretty busy diary. However, it wasn't clear when this request was made because, I think, again, pointedly, he was going to appear at this court case on the first day of his father's first state visit. And would that have torpedoed it? Well, pretty much probably would have, right? I mean, Harry's still big business whenever he pops up talking about himself or whatnot. And a bit of needle between the families. Can't spare a few hours to see his son.
It's weird though when you have to ask permission or book a meeting with your family. Also,
of course,
is he busy all the time? Yeah. Surely he's got to have like breakfast at some stage. Or is breakfast a meeting?
He's at Highgrove at the moment in Gloucestershire without riders. You know, the King could probably send his son a car, zoom you up there, motorway. He'd probably be there in an hour and a bit, wouldn't he?
I mean, has Harry still got his helicopter license? He used to do a bit of helicoptering about, didn't he? So, yeah, but it's just, I think that's one of the things that always feels really weird and alien
totally.
When we think about the royal family and even this, you know, the family ructions and maybe Charles doesn't want to meet him and it isn't convenient and this is a convenient excuse to say, oh, yeah, tell him the diary's really busy. But you would hope, I mean, ultimately, yes, he's the king and he's got this sort of slightly problem. I don't know. Is he a subject, even if he's in line to the throne? I don't know.
He's a problem.
Anyway, he's a problem.
He's definitely a problem.
Problem person, but problem member of the family, and it's still...
The issue is, listen, once you get away from the whole, you know, got to put in a request to see your father, it's a very busy week for the King and obviously Queen Consort as well, and the teams revolving around them. They've hastily had to rearrange large parts of this trip. The travel, not... being a major one, and then you looking at all the engagements that were cancelled. Were they going to be making different engagements in Germany? What would that mean that they're arriving at different times? Blah blah blah. And listen, we've still got the backdrop of Harry's interviews and the book, and we haven't heard anything officially from the royal family. It wasn't like the Oprah Winfrey interview when we had that unprecedented statement from the Queen where they were dealing with the issues of racism and abandonment and suicide. These were pretty much hurtful barbs about people's character and the way they conduct themselves and the monarchy and the institution at large. And it all became a bit, you know, too much for them to deal with. So they chose not to say anything. And Harry is still saying he wants reconciliation. The ball is in their court. Well, the King's probably thinking, I've probably got other things on my plate.
And let's face it, it's not a quick cup of tea, is it?
No, it isn't. And especially with the business that is still, as I understand it, undecided of whether they will come to the coronation. And I can give you updated viewpoints of up until a week ago, they were still undecided of whether they were going to come. Whether they are just playing hardball, it's your guess as good as mine, isn't it? But it's all pretty fractious. It's all pretty... you know, tawdry, this whole business, isn't it? That the infighting, the sniping at each other. Do you reckon they'll come?
Just thinking about it while you were talking about it, I hope they do because Otherwise, it feels like it's far too big a gap.
Yeah.
For the family.
Yeah, if you don't come to this.
But I hope a decision is made early so we can get kind of the hoo-ha and about that a bit out of the way beforehand. I mean, I know there'll still be hoo-ha. I mean, we'll be hoo-haing
about course,
it.
Of
Let's
course,
face
yeah,
it, when they're here and analysing and what's going on and who are they next to on the balcony if they're on the balcony and where are they sitting and are they saying hello nicely and all of that stuff. Ultimately, whatever happens, they will be in the spotlight. It's a bit damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Mm.
They're coming and they're overshadowing it. They're not coming and they're overshadowing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, of course, yeah.
But if a decision can be made earlier rather than later, then it can kind of be dealt with and there's a chance for other bits of the coronation to get a bit more air.
Yeah, well, I imagine the organisers, I mean, the invitation sent out, they have to get a lot of things planned.
RSVP for the coronation.
And you are asked for your RSVP ASAP. So you need to get your decision in quickly, whether you're going to come. And obviously things change down the line, but there are so many things to be organised. They probably won't be involved in the outfits, but I had a story a couple of weeks ago about Andrew being distraught and dismayed, as he usually is, but the fact that he might not be able to wear his Garty uniform, the cloaks and the robes that he is.
He looks so fabulous in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Not at all silly.
He doesn't want attention on himself at all. But that is a decision that has to be made. And obviously the seating arrangements, the travel arrangements, Harry's security arrangements, which are obviously ongoing with his court cases and where he will be staying, whether it will be Frogmore Cottage, we assume so, because they've still got leave of that accommodation or use of the accommodation. And so it's endless, isn't it?
If late availability comes free for a couple of prime coronation slots, then I am available.
We are available.
Yep. Well, who's going to get it though? Are we having to take each other as the plus ones and disappoint?
I'm fine with that.
Well, you know, we need someone to look after our various children.
So. Exactly. So
there we go.
They've got the job.
They can do that and we'll go off to the coronation. It'd be great. Well, yeah. Do you think they'll come?
Yes, I think they will come. I've flip-flopped because I thought they'd come. Then all the business with Frogmore happened. I thought, oh, no, they definitely won't come. Then their spokespeople were heavily briefing. Oh, no, they're totally fine with it. They're okay with it. The fact that they've been not evicted, kicked out, asked to vacate Frogmore. I mean, I think that was sort of smoothing over the muddied waters. And now I think they will come, yeah.
Okay, well, I'd imagine we'll talk about it once or twice.
Because I do think their currency still has to remain a part of this family. They still need that association. And whether that's being unfair or not, I think they've given their kids titles. They didn't need to do that. And the mood music beforehand was always they're going to take the decision not to have titles for their children. They don't need them. They are going to be disassociated in that role from the royal family. Well, times are changing.
Well, there we go. Yeah, the ongoing adventures of Harry and Meghan in California remain with us. So what else has been going on? An unusual thing, not given presumably for 70-odd years, demise honours.
Now, am I supposed to know about demise honours? I didn't know about this.
And you were away on your holiday when it happened
as well.
I was,
yes, so. But I saw the term and I didn't know about it. Am I admitting to something I should have learned about?
No, I don't think it...
Demise honours.
Did they not give you a test before you got your job as
Well,
like
I would
royal
have failed
editor.
It miserably and I still probably would do, so.
So the demise honours were given by the king.
Yes.
To recognise service of
his late mother.
Yeah. People who gave particular service to his late mother, both in her life, but also in her death and in the commemoration and, you know, the huge ceremonial, respectful marking of that important point in time. So, you know, the pallbearers and the eight strapping gentlemen who were carrying that, you know, huge responsibility.
But they are the searing image for me of the funeral. I mean, there's so many, but I think we carried it on our front page of them holding the coffin leading into the abbey.
Yeah.
Gosh, mind blank. too much going on. And so, and the sort of grimaces on the face, or the, not grimaces, the
concentration?
Yes, yeah, the concentrated looks on their faces and how everybody was sort of, the whole nation was behind them at that one moment thinking,
just don't drop it.
Don't do anything.
Don't drop it, untoward. Don't stumble, don't faint.
But also the gamekeepers who carried Her Majesty's coffin from Balmoral to the car, then it went its way to Edinburgh. I mean, all these sort of moments, but it was nice to see those lads honoured in such a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting you saying that was the moment of the funeral for you. I mentioned it to Zoe when we were chatting. The bit that got me was seeing her horse. And
yes,
Terence Pendry holding the horse, and he'd obviously held, he'd been, you know, the man with the
Emma, the pony, so
Emma the pony. Who, so I went last summer to the Windsor, the pageant.
Of course,
with
you
the
did.
Horse. So I got to see the horses driving about. So, and the he'd obviously been involved with the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral and the carriage driving there. So that was the moment that got it for me. So he was honoured, and Angela Kelly. I mean, you can't really have demise honours for Her Majesty the Queen without recognising her right-hand woman.
But a little bit of controversy. Confidant.
Yes, a little bit. So there's a question of, so she was,
I always love it. Sorry, when she's described as Scouse Docker's daughter. It's just like, you know, it's the typical right-wing press sort of trying to kick someone. But no,
I don't think it is. I think it's showing, it's, I think it's social snobbish mobility.
Yeah, but it's snobbishness. You know, my in-laws are Scousers, so, and I lived in Liverpool for many years, and I think it is right-wing press snobbishness by calling her a Scouse Docker's daughter.
No, I think it's reinforcing that actually the royal family aren't as distant from you as you think you are. You can be part of it, even if you're a Scouse Docker's daughter.
I like that you're thinking
I'm
that.
I'm a happy optimist.
You
Russell.
Are, yeah. Well, that's where we differ, one of the points. But, yeah, I mean, I prefer AK-47.
I mean, that is, if you're going to have a nickname. Angela Kelly, yeah. AK-47. But she became only a commander of the Royal Victorian Order, apparently, rather than a dame commander.
If these things are the matter to you, then perhaps you could be rightly miffed. But she should probably get the top honour. She was by the Queen's side. She was the only person to have been able to write these books. The Queen trusted confidant, her dresser, her confidant. She had an apartment at Windsor throughout the whole pandemic. Her later years, she was the one person who was there. I think she should have been given the right honour, but maybe that is a bit of snobbishness on the King's part. He didn't want some Scouse Docker's daughter to be getting the top honour.
Or just someone who made his life a bit difficult occasionally.
Well,
maybe. I don't know.
That's another story entirely, isn't it? But
then there's also talk, or, you know, so Mail on Sunday reporting that she might be concerned that she might be part of this, like, housing merry-go-round and might not get to stay on Windsor Estate as well.
I can't keep up with this, you know, housing crisis within the royal family. It's a very different sort of one, isn't it? But obviously she was being allowed to keep her grace and favour apartment at Windsor Castle, but the one of the Sunday papers saying that, the Queen's dresser and confidant for more than 20 years fears she may have to leave her grace and favour home, and this is another victim of the King's property merry-go-round. Whatever next?
Oh, so it'll be interesting because it does still feel like it's sort of that transition. He's trying to get his house in order.
We are. Well, listen, I think there's two big major points. There's not only the issue of the start to his reign, what that sort of legacy almost has to start straight away, doesn't it? Because, not being cruel, but he's not going to have 70 years on the throne, is he? I mean, that's stating the obvious. But he, 10 to 15 would be a nice run. 20?
Maybe I'm being cruel.
20 years. Let's say 20 years.
20 odd years younger than his mother.
Yeah,
so
20 years would be a good run. And then, but we kind of know who Charles, well, we know who Charles is already. We're not waiting to see someone who's going to be shaped by this great power of office and what he's like. So how is he going to change? He's already said he's not foolish enough to think that he doesn't have to change, that he can't be writing letters to government ministers and whatnot. However, he's got to sort out the business of his own family as well. I mean, scandal, infighting, we could go on. But he's got to sort that out before. And if Andrew is thinking about doing another TV interview, I saw another story about he's potentially going to write a book. I mean, These are problems that are really at his door in the first few weeks of his reign, and he needs to stamp them out.
Well, who would be king? So you've got your German future slash past
yep.
trip to look forward to slash be enjoying at the moment. What else is there anything else coming up that we know about?
Well, I suppose you could mention Poland, because I couldn't go, which was I was very sad about. But it was a sort of a secret squirrel trip until right at the last moment. But Prince William was over in Poland visiting British and Polish troops, obviously helping with the efforts in Ukraine, the conflict that is still ongoing, talking to the soldiers and saying how proud of them he was and how proud of everyone back home and throughout the Commonwealth is of everybody who's helping Ukrainians and refugees. And he popped up at one of the more interesting points, I thought, he popped up at which was described as a gay friendly restaurant, and this got quite a lot of traction. Did you see this?
That's interesting. Well, some parts of Eastern Europe are less generally gay friendly
yes.
than you know, than the UK or other bits of Western Europe. So no, I didn't see that aspect. I know Zoe and Jen had a bit of a chat about Poland on last week's show, but tell us about the gay friendly restaurant, Russ.
Well, yes, William was photographed by a couple of diners at the Bieto Bistro, I've probably pronounced that wrong, Bieto Restaurant in Warsaw. It's a place that is known online as a queer space. Apparently some of the patrons were a bit surprised to see William there, but I wasn't really, because he's spoken about him being a gay ally before. He's been on the cover of Attitude magazine, the gay magazine in the UK. He has discussed his children perhaps being gay. He's spoken about Prince George in the past, saying that if he was gay, then it's something that he would discuss with him. Actually, what I thought was interesting, I'm digressing a little bit now, but do you remember that conversation he had? And I can't remember exactly where it was, but I was there, and it was a conversation to somebody, one of the kids mentioned to him, a teenager, and said, what would your attitude be if your son was gay? And he said to him that he wouldn't have a problem with it, but his main concern would be about societal pressure. And I thought that was, at the time, I thought that was a really good response to a big question that obviously some people would think that the monarchy probably wouldn't deal quite well with somebody who would be gay and their life is set out in front of them to be king.
Wow. Big issues in politics. So thinking about the Polish trip as well, are we seeing a bit more military-related stuff at the moment?
Well, Kate.
With Kate, I mean, I love those pictures. She looked like she was off the front of an Andy McNab book.
G.I. Jane, I know.
Absolute nails.
I think, yeah. I mean, it's in the world we're living in at the moment, isn't it? We've got British troops abroad. There is a war in Europe. President Zelensky, we've seen him both speaking to our Prime Minister and former Prime Minister.
Which one?
Yeah. I mean, he thinks he's still the Prime Minister sometimes, doesn't he? But we've seen him also, the royals visiting Ukrainian refugee centres, or certainly centres in across the UK that are trying to help the refugee situation over in Ukraine and Poland and the sort of border countries of Ukraine as well. So it's an issue that isn't going away. I think the royals can certainly lend a hand and a voice to these communities and these charities that are trying to work so hard to help people. Whether it's a more of a military association, I think perhaps with the Queen no longer with us, there is an argument that the other members of the family need to step up, take more risks, be willing to be photographed doing more adventurous things.
And it's a bit of changing of roles and changing of the guard.
Yeah, changing of the guard. But are they going to step up to this role as Prince and Princess of Wales? I mean, I don't think we've seen any major demonstration of that. I don't think they're going to change the wheel. But I think the space is there to be filled, isn't it?
I think there's interesting this sort of this title and what the roles are, whereas actually they've crafted roles as William and Kate.
Yes, exactly. Yes, and they're bigger than the Prince and Princess of Wales.
It's not their not their titles. It's who they are and how they live their royal life, I guess, maybe. Oh, big thoughts,
yeah,
Russell.
Gosh,
it's been great to be back.
I know. Thank you. It's been brilliant. And in person as well.
I know, it's so special.
Real life.
we'll give it a go again next week, hopefully. Listeners, until then, you can find us on Pod Save on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle hasn't changed, unlike some members of the royal family, so I'm having to relearn who lives where on as I go follow everybody about to see what's been going on and make sure we don't miss anything. Do send us your messages as ever. And Russell, I look forward to seeing actual future Russell from the space-time continuum next week. And until next time.
Pod Save the King!